You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, and the host of this wonderful podcast. And joining me, the other line for, I think, the third time this week from Forbes.com, the West Side Indianapolis News, Mr. Tony East. Tony, how are you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. I had like a 10-hour meeting at work today. It was actually, for a meeting that long, surprisingly productive. So I'm not that mad about it. But I've been sitting all day, and I'm currently sitting, I suppose. But excited and energetic to talk about something else, including Brad Wanamaker, as you said, Sumner trades, more thoughts from that Knicks game yesterday. We actually have basketball to talk about, so it's just energizing to do a podcast where we're not just like looking back at an offseason or guessing how the season's going to go. We can talk about real stuff that happened this week. So I'm jazzed up, ready to go.
Yep. So as Tony mentioned, and as I mentioned to start the show, the Pacers cleared a roster spot by trading Sumner yesterday. Just a second round pick to him. He got sent to Brooklyn, where I believe then he's being released. And so with that extra roster spot, they signed Brad Wanamaker to an Exhibit 9 contract, basically as a non-guaranteed deal. Wanamaker will now be the Pacers' theoretical third point guard for the time being, basically.
Yeah, Exhibit 9 report is from Scott Agnes. First of all, just to make sure we get the clarity there, from the Fieldhouse Files newsletter, to check that out. But yes, as the Pacers announced in a corresponding move to their trade of Sumner to clear a roster spot, they are bringing in Brad Wanamaker. He spent two seasons with Celtics. Then last year, he spent half the season with the Warriors and then went over to Charlotte in a trade deadline deal. And the first of all, Exhibit 9 just means if he gets hurt. So there's a rule in the NBA. Even if you have a non-guaranteed deal, if you get hurt, your team has to pay you. They can't cut you like you have injury insurance. But if you have an Exhibit 9, that's not the case. That screwed the Clippers 1 year. That doesn't screw the Pacers if Brad Wanamaker gets hurt in camp, basically. That's why they did that. Anyway. He's actually an okay player, right? That's the reason they really pursued him. Scott reported that Wanamaker was looking for an opportunity somewhere where he would have a chance to make the team. You know, he had some options, but you know, he that's what he wanted, and he had to fight for a spot last year. That's why he got traded midseason. But he's had an interesting career, right? He shot really well from three with the Celtics. Again, led the league in free throw shooting his second year in Boston. So he's got the stroke, and free throw percentage usually translates well with 3-point percentage. Although last season he did not shoot well from three, despite continuing to shoot well from the free throw line. But he's got, you know, an okay passing ability, 3.4 assists in under 20 minutes with the Hornets last year. Averages about 6 points per game. So has a decent resume for a guy the Pacers would bring in as like a break glass in case of emergency point guard.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason he hasn't been signed by any team yet. He obviously is on the fringes of the league. He's 30, look at me, 32 this year. And he had, you know, he's really barely played in the league. You know, he's that old. And so he's kind of been probably a journeyman basketball player in general. But yeah, I mean, when you scour the market for third point guards, the Pacers really couldn't find one to give like a mid-level money to, or even the $5 million they gave Torrey Craig. Because I think if they could have found one, they might have paid a little bit for that, I guess, depending on like, you know, how other kind of other deals had shaken out. So yeah, he's the best they could probably do unless they want to go with Kiefer Sykes. So he's probably the like nice in between that, like no NBA experience guy versus somebody who actually makes real money.
The pro with him to me, especially if he's going to, well, he is replacing Sumner's spot on the team, is Wanamaker with Boston a lot was kind of their backup two. He played the two a lot. His first year there, he played almost half his minutes at the two. He played the two a little bit with Golden State next to Curry occasionally. He played the two in Charlotte last season, right? So he's got some positional versatility there, which shouldn't matter. But, you know, let's say they trade Jeremy Lamb at some point. All of a sudden, you know, if Duarte gets hurt or something, you have a guy, or LeVert gets hurt again, you have a guy you can slide up and say, okay, Wanamaker can steal 10 minutes a game at the two spot for us, and we're not embarrassed by that, especially if he continues or has another season shooting well from three, like his first 2 years in the NBA. So that combo guard appeal is nice, I think, just because they've seen some injury proneness from the guys they have. So he'll probably have to fight to make the team in general, but I would certainly put his resume and his skills above guys like Sykes, and I'd probably put him above Keelan, honestly, but we'd have to see him in the system and playing in general. He did play, like I said, on yesterday's podcast with Ronald Norred. Ronald Norred, a Pacers assistant coach, was an assistant in Charlotte last year. And by the way, Adam, I did some digging today because I'm a psychopath researching players. Wanamaker went to Pitt and Norad went to Butler. They played against each other in that awesome Pitt-Butler NCAA tournament game. Do you remember that?
2011, yeah.
2011 where Butler had no business winning and Howard got fouled on the full court shot at the end of the game.
Yeah, it was the round two game, right? Was it? Or no, it was the Sweet 16 game where they were the 1-4 matchup, or was it? It was one of those. I can't remember which
one. It was the Sweet 16. That was the year Butler was the 8 seed, so they were a 1-8 matchup. But it was the second round. But yeah, it was a wild game. Wanamaker played 36 minutes and only had 8 points. He didn't play very well. Norad played 28 minutes and had 0 points. So they were certainly both in that game for defense.
That Butler team didn't score very many points. Remember, right? They were winning. Like, again, the change again, they scored 40 points, I believe. They were winning games like 51-49. Like, it was a lot of defense.
In this specific game, Shelvin Mack had 30, but the rest of their team was pretty terrible.
He was the only good player on that Butler team, basically.
He was the best offensive player on that team by a mile. So that's just something silly I wanted to point out that some indie basketball buffs will love, because those Butler teams were just an absolute blast. And that game against Pitt was one of the most
maybe the most fun basketball of the past two decades in Indiana, frankly, this whole state.
Well, the Pacers made the conference final, so I would say no.
Close. Those are close. Those teams were really exciting, and they were
Butler teams were awesome.
Yeah. Well, and they weren't, because nobody's really a Butler fan, so they're kind of like Indiana's team when they're good.
The evaluation to me of like memorable basketball or any sports team really is, you know, for me growing up at least, it was, did I go to school the next day and like talk about it with other kids my age? Pacers in the conference finals, Butler in the championship game, Colts in the Super Bowl both times. You know, those were the indie teams that I remember talking about with my friends growing up.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a fair.
Purdue, and they were really good. The year Hummel got hurt, I remember talking about them a little bit.
The year Wofford hit that shot. Kentucky.
But anyway, back to Wanamaker. So he'll still have to technically fight to earn the team. Again, I would say that the fact that this trade even happened suggests that they're at least high enough on him to believe he will make the team. And now there's like a pretty clear demarcation of 15 guys. And I might even go far enough to say Wanamaker's 14. And if they can push Keelan's date back, they'd consider doing that and having either Keelan be 15, or if Keelan won't push his date back, no one be 15. I don't know how they rank those guys at this point in time. But again, the fact that they even made the trade, I mean, the money is a nice thing. You have to free the rosters, but it means they kind of had a goal of getting a better third point guard on the team, and getting Wanamaker immediately after the deal kind of makes me think that they're pretty high on him making the roster, maybe not making an impact this season, but making the team. So we'll see how it shakes out for him in terms of what his role is or how much he's actually playing. We'll go to practice tomorrow and talk to Carlisle and stuff. But I think that he's got a pretty good shot to make the roster.
Yeah, you kind of stole my next point. So I'm going to kind of grill a couple questions, just answer them fast. So if Martin plays the full season on his current contract, how much is space there between the Pacers' luxury tax line and their salaries?
Wanamaker and Keelan Martin?
Both? Yeah, both. What is the space?
If they both play the full season on the team right now, they're about a little over $1 million away from the tax.
So if they cut Keelan and go 14 guys, they're at 1.6 then? Or how much is Keelan? Right? Keelan's like 500.
He would add another 1.7 million in rooms, so they'd be 2.8 million from the tax.
Yeah. I actually think there's a good chance they should probably just go with 14 guys. Or some version where they can really non-guarantee Keelan like almost the entire year and cut him as soon as they feel like, if they feel the guy's going to go over a bonus, right?
Think it's a bonus. I just think that's what they want. And then if they get to the deadline and like no one's gotten hurt, or they love a guy in the Maddens, then they'll just cut him.
Yeah, but
I try to trade him with cash or something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was thinking like if they get to like January and let's say like Sabonis is going to be an All-NBA because some reason they kind of feel that, they can just cut Keelan and that way they don't have to worry about going over the tax line. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I guess I would be slightly surprised, but if they go with 14 guys, I wouldn't put it like, it wouldn't be a crazy thing if they just decided want to make it their 14th and not, that's it.
Absolutely not crazy. Chad Buchanan spoiled that such is a possibility to me a while ago. I don't,
never he said smart. He wanted a non-guaranteed guy, right?
He wanted a non-guaranteed guy in the last spot. That's why I think if they can push Keelan's date back, his guaranteed date back, they'll still keep him as guy 15.
Okay. Well, I'm saying that maybe they just don't in general. Maybe they just said the money, it's not worth the risk. They want to just save a little bit of money for some reason.
Yeah. The only reason to do that is cheapness, right? Because you're blowing a roster spot on nothing. So that's kind of a slap in the face to fans. But, you know, the tax is what it is. So we'll see how they decide to manage that. But I personally would think Wanamaker jumps Keelan. You know, they gave up a second rounder to do this. The other key update we got from yesterday's tweets to today's actual announcement from the team is, it says in the Pacers announcement that the Heat pick they traded conditional second round pick. It could be very light protections. It could be heavy protections. We'll see, but that's kind of a big deal. To me, that it's conditional, it could mean the Pacers end up keeping it. And, you know, in general, someone tweeted this at me and it felt kind of weird, right? So what what happened was the Nets traded away Sekou Doumbouya and a second rounder to the Rockets. The Rockets just cut Doumbouya immediately. And then the Pacers traded Sumner in a second to the Nets. And someone tweeted at me like, why did the Nets even have to be involved here, right? Like, why couldn't the Pacers, if they traded an unprotected second, just traded Sumner to the Rockets? Why did the Rockets take on this additional money? Well, now we might know it's that this conditional second doesn't have as much value as the full second that the Rockets instead got. So I'm thinking the protections might be medium heavy just because of that, because that's the reason why. I mean, the Nets save some money, so they're still happy to do this, but that's why they needed the middle team, is because the assets scaled up the whole way to get off the money. So I'm thinking the protections might be maybe not light, but like medium-ish, like top 45 protected or something like that. We'll see in a few weeks. But that's in another addendum that is important and changes the valuation, because if the Pacers can keep the pick, that's a healthy trade. Now they just got off Sumner for almost nothing.
Yeah, I say it's over and again. Those second round picks are like, they're not worth the money. They just use four seconds
to get up to get Isaiah. Like, yeah, they're in practice, they're, like actually picking a guy.
They're loose change value.
But they have value in trades. I think blowing that off is not smart.
So they have loose change value, which means you can get like enough of it together, you can do something. But like, right, if you got a quarter in your pocket, go try to buy something today.
Yeah.
So
they kept the chance to get a quarter. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think they have much value. You ready to talk about the impact of the Sumner trade though?
Yep.
All right. Let's take one quick break and then do that. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by Sweatblock. There are a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. And one of them is excessive sweating. You know, the kind of sweating where you sweat through your shirt for no reason. It can be kind of embarrassing. This isn't life or death, and there are much worse problems in the world, but let's be honest, in the moment, it feels like a big deal. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. You'd rather not worry about it, and that's why you should use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. They are stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. Simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed, wake up the next morning, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat, guaranteed. I know this might sound too good to be true, but if you try Sweatblock once or twice a week, it will keep you dry the whole time. If you want to try Sweatblock today, you can either go to the website at sweatblock.com, your promo code locked on, that's LOCKEDON for 20% off, or you can find Sweatblock at Amazon or CVS. So I wrote down four people who are most likely to benefit from the Sumner trade. Can I give you the first one?
Four people that benefit. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they all like are hugely benefiting, but they benefit in some way. You ready for the first one, though? Sure. The first one, Herb Simon.
Yes, Herb Simon is certainly happy to not have to pay $2.3 million for nothing.
Yeah, for a play. I mean, he's still doing that for Monte Ellis this year, right?
That's true. Now they don't. Yeah, they cut their dead money in half, which an owner will be happy about, and fans should care, again, absolutely zero about. But yes,
yeah,
that is funny. I was thinking four. How did you get that high? Now that I think of Herb Simon, maybe I understand.
Okay. Let's go to the next one that I'm sure is the most obvious one. Keelan Martin, I think, benefits the most from this because it clears a roster spot. They got the third point guard. He no longer has to, like, he's no really worrying about, oh, I might get jumped by Sykes because they need a point guard or whatnot. It's more like, now I got to be the best guy of the six guys they have in the Wanamaker on Exhibit 10 deals. Like, that's, and he's got to beat him out. And that's kind of a much easier process for him than trying to be like, compete with a prototypical third point guard.
Yeah. Like we said last segment, it kind of hinges on him pushing his guaranteed it back again, I think. But anyway, if he is willing to do so, yes, he is probably very happy about this, because even if, like I guessed last segment, Keelan still ranks 15th on the roster in terms of, you know, if you rank the guys 1 through 15. Now, the reason there was going to be a battle for that last roster spot, and remember, Kevin Pritchard himself said Keelan's the favorite at Media Day. Keelan had to fight because their third point guard didn't exist at all, right? So Kiefer Sykes, who J. Michael reported the team liked, had a chance to fight for this spot. And so if Keelan didn't severely outplay him in preseason, Kiefer was probably better, actually, in the first preseason game, then maybe they would have thought about, okay, maybe we keep Kiefer here, or convert Dejan Giroux, and then cut Keelan. But now there is Keelan's still guy 15, but they don't have the need to keep Kiefer Sykes anymore. They have Brad Wanamaker now, who can play behind TJ McConnell if catastrophe happens, in the Brogdon, McConnell, even LeVert rotation of ball handlers. Now they have a guy that can say, okay, we can put this guy out there for a few minutes and be happy with what we're putting out there. So yes, Keelan is probably very happy that the competition on his butt from position battles is not there anymore. Now he just, if he doesn't suck in preseason, he's probably got the last spot.
Yeah, I think too, there's a chance, like, let's say there was a like tie, right? Let's say him and Keeper Sykes both played at the same level and they both have the same evaluation of them. I think he now is able to win out a tie versus, I think, before. Was it because simply of his NBA experience, having been with the team and being younger, right? I think now that was way higher than like the need of position. That I think if he had tied with Sykes in the Pacers evaluation heading into the season, he might have lost that battle because Sykes is a point guard and they didn't have one. So yeah, Martin's the biggest beneficiary of this by far.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I would say he's the second biggest beneficiary, but yes.
Well, you mean behind Herb?
No.
Who's your biggest thing? Go for it.
Brad Wanamaker.
Oh, okay. I wasn't.
Duh. Yes. Yeah. Brad Wanamaker went from unemployed to employed because of this trade, I think.
Okay, but we talked about him a bunch last year. We don't need much more. I was thinking Sykes is also benefits from this in some way too.
Really?
I mean, he benefits in some way that, like,
wow,
the last roster spot is now kind of, I guess it's still an open competition, but he still benefits a little bit from this in some way that feels like, right? What if Wanamaker just stinks? Now there's two roster spots open, right? There's always that possibility that Wanamaker just comes in and whatever, or something can't do it. And now they got two roster spots and Sacks probably gets it if something Wanamaker isn't able to go.
Yes, but if they cut Wanamaker, they're going to get so much heat. So much heat. They just dumped a second to sign him. They're not going to cut Wanamaker.
Yeah, but no. But what if Wanamaker comes in and gets hurt? God forbid, right? I mean, that's what I mean.
That is the only way. That is the only way.
There's just a slightly more opportunity for him to make the team now. So
wow, I think he's a huge loser. Huge. Oh, you
think? Okay. I think he was already going to lose, and I think now it just like there's like a little more of a possibility.
I think his chance of making the team went from about 40-45% to about 1%. That's a huge.
I always would have said it was under 5%. I just thought Martin had that.
Oh wow! I thought he had a chance to take Keelan's spot, but now
you're much higher on him. I mean, you liked him a lot from his.
No, I'm mostly going off of reporting. I mean, he did have a good summer league, but
yeah. But
Rick Carlisle even said that the third point guard battle was something they needed to focus on for the rest of camp after the game yesterday when Scott asked about it, like. That was Rick being hazy on purpose because he wasn't allowed to talk about the trade. But I think in general, we've learned that that they value the third point guard spots. So they get Wanamaker on purpose. They wouldn't have made this trade to cut the guy to me.
I don't think he was. I don't think he cut, but if something happens, there's now an extra roster spot open, and Sykes probably is wanting to get it because he's been in the roster. I just thought Sykes was always.
That would have happened either way.
Yeah, but I think. Initially, I just never thought a 28-year-old guy's in a playoff league was going to make the roster all of a sudden. Over Martin. Just even if they needed a third point guard, I think they would have rather just gone Keelan non-guaranteed, and then if something happened, they would have just cut Keelan and figured it out. And so I think Sykes went from being like under. There's now another door of possibility for him, but I don't know. I wasn't that high on him.
What's the new door?
The fact that something could happen to Wanamaker, and then all of a sudden now the spot's basically his because they have two roster spots available.
But they could have made the Sumner trade and just promoted him if they liked him in that opportunity either way. That door was always
no, but there. I'm not saying I don't think they like an opportunity, but I'm saying there now is a possibility. Like, I don't think they would have made that trade like just for Sykes, but now if something does happen to Wanamaker, now there is another opportunity available that there wouldn't have been if he's just by himself.
The opportunity is someone gets hurt, which was kind of always there to me. I think he's the biggest loser by a country mile, like 7 million miles.
Oh, I mean, maybe I didn't think we made
besides
the team.
The Rockets, I guess, who take on some money for a second, but they don't really care. Sekou Doumbouya was a lottery pick like 2 years ago, and now he's not on a team? Like, you're telling me they couldn't cut Keelan and sign him to a minimum deal, by the way? That's another factor of this that I've thought about.
But I mean, I think the biggest loser in this was probably Sumner, but yeah.
Who's your fourth winner?
Oh, I mean, I think it's just any – as you go, it's just rank it down. I mean, I think it's Drew as well. I mean, I just think the possibility that there is another roster spot. Because even, let's say, Wanamaker is a non-guaranteed deal, there's just another roster spot available now at some point. That just, I think, is a – could be possible is a big deal versus like there really was something there wasn't
at all.
I mean, I think there's you never know. These guys have been signed. He's in his 30s. Like, I don't know. You just, things gonna happen, man.
They just traded a second. I mean, wow. A second to help out those guys.
No,
I mean,
they traded a second to clear space to be under the tax. That's why they traded Sumner ultimately. I mean, they were able to get a third point guard, but the Sumner move seemed like it was mainly driven for financial reasons.
Yeah, but cutting Keelan and having Sykes be your third point guard saves you more money than doing this for Wanamaker.
Yeah, I think that's why.
I don't know if it was necessarily for money reasons. It might just be for roster spot reasons.
Well, they also could just cut Keelan too and have him saving him more money.
Yes, but that then you're leaving a roster spot open, which is cheap and unfair to fans.
Yeah,
there's a lot of granular and unnecessary debate to say the shift at the back of the roster is kind of seismic, right? There are lots of guys who are impacted in their quest to make the Pacers roster. None more than Keelan and Wanamaker themselves, of course, but the Exhibit 10 guys are probably going to look at the situation a little differently now, which certainly matters for them. And remember, some teams have already been doing this. The Spurs have already cut a couple of their Exhibit 10 guys. We've seen a few of these teams doing this. Like, the Pacers could just decide, like, all right, your preseason's over. We're going to use another Exhibit 10 guy we want in here. So I think it's possible that those guys get waived tomorrow before the Cavs game and they bring someone else in. You know, all this stuff happens so fast. So just changing spot for them, changing situation is certainly something to monitor for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, there's just – they clip this. The move also, I think, kind of shows they want to have Martin on the roster too as part of it, right? I mean, I think that's kind of a
– Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Points of the move, of the Sumner moves that they – it means they wanted to find a way to keep Martin. So,
yeah.
He benefited a ton from this. Do you have anybody else who benefited or lost out from this? Besides Sumner, of course, who was the biggest loser by far.
Well, actually, he's guaranteed his money, right? So Scott reported, like they did with C.J. Watson a few years ago when he got hurt on his two-way, that he was allowed to rehab in Indiana. Scott reported they have offered such graces to Sumner, who will get cut by the Nets. So he could just stay in market and get his money in rehab. I mean,
yeah, but if he was on the roster, there'd be a good chance he could get signed again next year. Now, he could still, but it just...
I was going to say, still could, I suppose.
Yeah, but is he now restricted by how much money he could sign for with the Pacers or no?
I mean, was he going to get more in the MLE?
No, but...
Not really.
Okay.
Not in practice. I mean, yes, but no.
Okay. So,
no, he's not... he's not on a team, so I guess that makes him a loser, but given what his year was going to be, nothing changes for him.
Yeah, but he's not really an NBA player. I mean, he's not on an NBA roster, which is... It just is a drop. I mean, it kind of puts him more on the bubble for just in general, for making a team next year.
I guess.
Not any more than it probably did already, but it just kind of stinks not to be on an NBA roster, I guess.
I suppose.
Okay. You ready to give some Knicks thoughts?
Yes, I am.
All right. Let's go. Let's take one more break, and then we'll talk about the Pacers preseason against the Knicks, which we did a lot yesterday. We'll do some more today. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is also brought to you by our wonderful friends over at Built Bar. Do you know Built Bar has so many delicious flavors that there's something for everyone? Talk to a fan about Built Bar. They're definitely passionate about their favorite ones. My favorite one, personally, is of the nine they're kind of rocking right now, the double chocolate, the cookies and cream. I'm a big kind of sweet guy. You know, those ones are the best ones, but they have an awesome mix box. They'll give you nine different flavors, two of each. You get 18 protein bars. I like these protein bars as kind of a mid-afternoon snack between lunch and dinner. They're high in protein, 17, 18 grams each. They're not too many calories, 130 to 180. So they're kind of healthy, too. And right now, if you go to built.com, your promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, get 15% off your order. Go to built.com, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And we are also brought to you by betonline.ag. The football season is back, and betonline.ag is the place to go. They are your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. The new updated site interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. And right now, if you head over to the website today, you can sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on betonline.ag. They have everything from football betting to basketball to boxing, right up to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers they have available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fast, easy way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. All right, I am hoping you remember where we kind of left off on our next conversation last time.
Well, what we did is we talked about the main guys. We talked about, you know, the rotation in the first half with the guys that will play during the season and the performances of the starters and some of the key rookies and stuff. What we didn't do is talk about the mid of the third quarter on, when the guys that, again, they might not be as important during the season, but guys like Keelan Martin, Goga Bitadze, O'Shea was playing a lot more, but he was in before that. All the Exhibit 10 guys, when they came in the game. And we talked about their new situations because of what just happened with Wanamaker in the Sumner trade. But, you know, how they played in the game certainly matters for their future as well. So we got to break down kind of the rest of the Knicks game and really formalize all these thoughts. And this is a perfect show to do it because we're already talking about, you know, their fight to make the team.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably now the most interesting story left for the Pacers in the preseason. I would say this last, we got two games left. How many? They play four times, right?
The games are always the most interesting story to me, but yes.
Yeah. No, I just mean like the kind of battle at the end of the roster is the most interesting thing left.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
I think so.
Behind the games, yeah.
Yeah. Did we talk about O'Shea? I thought we were going to bring him up some more too, right?
Yeah, O'Shea is the best guy we didn't really talk about. He did play in the rotation in the first half. We talked about him a little bit, right? Because he missed his first couple threes and you were like, oh, you know.
I made a joke about him, but then we brushed him over for a little bit.
Yeah, the fouls were concerning. Five fouls were concerning. He had to play center. O'Shea played center with, you know, some various guys around him. Isaiah Jackson played center next to somebody else. O'Shea played center next to like a Keelan Martin, Nate Hinton group. I forget who else.
I thought the Isaiah Jackson O'Shea thing was interesting. I mean, it maybe it's a future into the Pacers, like 4 or 5 in some ways. I mean, it's two under-ish size, although I think it's not that undersized, but like pretty fast, switchable kind of
guy. Yeah, that'd be a great defensive duo.
Yeah, if Jess could shoot the ball, that would sort of make that lineup like really good. But if he could shoot the ball, he would have probably gone top 10, not 21. Yep. So that's an issue there. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know if it wasn't like anything fantastic, but it's just kind of interesting to see kind of an undersized 4-5 lineup out there.
My only note featuring O'Shea skill-wise was that his dribbling looked solid and a little tighter than last year. And we saw him in summer league be the guy who had the ball a lot. He had to handle and create for himself a little bit. He was drawing fouls. You know, he was one of the best players on the team in summer league for a reason. They pulled him out of the action. So the fact that kind of translated to the regular season or the preseason, excuse me, is nice. And the reason I kind of also am into that is because something we talked about yesterday, they had a lot of these situations where they would catch behind the 3-point line, shot fake, put it on the floor, right? And if O'Shea's handle's a little tighter and he's got the threat of being a shooter, who knows if his 3-point shot translates, that's a big question for him, but he can do that a lot this year. And if he's got the handle to get to the rim, that'll just make him a little more versatile. So I thought that was good for him.
Yeah, I think with O'Shea, the biggest thing is until we see them play with the starters, I don't think we really know what his like next ceiling is or improvements are, just because that's kind of the part of his game where, like, if he's playing in a four other starters, that's going to be the most interesting lineup for me to see from him this season. And in my opinion, I'm gonna make this kind of comparison, but it reminds me very much of the Glenn Robinson. Must have been the year he broke his ankle in summer camp, or I think training camp, something like that, in 17-18, where Robinson had this really good 16-17 year, showed some potential next to Paul George. You're like, oh, could he kind of make a little bit of a leap? And they never really got a chance to. O'Shea, at least healthy, he kind of is in that range right now, where it's like we just don't know yet till we see the games played, like the real games. But like, Is he gonna be like a legit, you know, borderline starter, or is he going to be the guy that kind of barely made rosters the past couple of seasons?
Yeah, I think he's better than that guy because of his defense, but we'll have to see how much of his offense can maintain in a new system, because he's one of the few guys this season who's in a unique situation where, like, a lot of the guys on this team who played for McMillan, they're in their third system in 2 years, whereas O'Shea, it's his third season to run the NBA, but he played for Nick Nurse 3 years ago, right? So he's only in his whole NBA career played one offensive system, the Nurse Bjorkman kind of deal. So this is new for him, right? So we'll see how he fits in all that. But I liked the way he looked in general with his handle. Just got to make the shots.
Okay. What other thoughts you got? I kept my notes from last time, but I think we pretty much hit all my major notes.
Yeah. My only Keelan note is sort of boring, but I just put Keelan. It looks exactly the same as last year. Nothing new really stood out with him to me. Which that note was done I guess I kind of knew the trade was happening, but I wasn't really thinking in that standpoint. But, you know, the fact that the thought of that was like, he needs to be a little better to have a better chance to make the team, but that might not be relevant anymore. But he didn't show anything super impressive to me.
I think that's one thing I noticed with just Sykes' like verbalness with everybody. You could kind of, I mean, we're so the broadcast you and I both watched was the Knicks one, because I was the only one who had the TV version of it. Yep. And it was kind of zoomed in, so you really couldn't always see the whole court, which is kind of annoying, because usually most broadcasts are kind of zoomed out so you can see everything that's going on, mainly going to watch the ball. But every time they kind of showed it, you could see it's like just pretty loud and active, and it looked like he was, you know, kind of directing the team, which I thought was interesting. Obviously, they made the trade for the third point guard mid-game, so that kind of changed that. But I did think that Sykes was like showing some leadership from a guy who is probably the 16th guy right now. I mean, we ranked all the team's players right now.
Nate Hinton and Terry Taylor, good rebounders for their size. I mean, I think the Mad Ants could be one of the best rebounding G League teams this year, but nothing really interesting on them for me. The only other real second half note that I had on terms of play was Isaiah Jackson's off-ball defense was not impressive to me. He'll learn. It was his first ever NBA game, but just something I noted. But mostly with the Exhibit 10 guys, just they looked rough, right? Only Dwayne Washington hit a shot.
That one nice shot, I thought, Washington.
He did. I was going to say the one shot, but in general, that group was struggling to create and get shots up. And they were playing against better players than them, but no one really stood out in a way that made you go, oh, wow, maybe we need to think about what they can do for the rest of the preseason. It was mostly these guys are G Leaguers.
Yeah, not surprising. Do we think they all care about the loss? I mean, I don't think they will at all.
Nope.
I still can't get over that Derrick was playing that fourth quarter. I don't know. That just keeps sticking in my mind watching him out there.
I thought Dwayne Washington, by the way, came in with Kiefer as guys number 13 and 14, just in terms of pecking order of.
Remember, there was no Laverta Warren, so that basically makes him 15.
Well, right. Right. I mean, just ranking from this game, sure. But so move those down by two, whatever. But of the 17 guys on the roster, so it appeared that Dejan Giroux, who barely played, didn't leave much of an impact, is the final guy on the currently rostered depth chart. And then the post game stuff, non game notes, Carlisle just said, the big focus for them going forward is going to be defense, cleaning it up, getting it tighter. It wasn't very good. They did film today. They had no practice today. They'll have practice again tomorrow. So he noted he wanted to look at the defense and he wanted to look at the threes because they got a lot up, especially in the first half. And you know, he didn't say that he felt like he disliked the quality of them, but you know, he's a guy who likes to look at everything and see how he feels. So he's going to look at the threes, even though to me, I didn't think they took any. It's very rare that I think a three is like horrible unless it's like heavily contested, but. I didn't think they took any heavily contested threes, so we'll see what shakes out from that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think any of the two way spots are. I mean, obviously, all the Exhibit 10 guys pretty much can sign could sign a two way deal theoretically, but I think the two ways are probably still like that. Nothing changed in my mind about it from this game, at least.
Yep, I think they're locked into those spots. I mean, again, unless one of the Exhibit 10 guys is really good and Kiefer was good, but none of the rest were good enough for me to think they'll earn that spot.
Yeah, I mean, with Sykes, it's still the issue of like he's playing so low down and he's 28 years old. And like, I don't know if that like lets him be a little better than he actually would be in a regular game or whatnot. But you know, Wanamaker played his first NBA season when he was 29, so it's not like impossible at that age to get to the league. But it's very, very hard. Like it's rare, and it's hard to stay. Wanamaker's case is exactly that. Any other thoughts on the Knicks?
No. I'm glad that we have a real basketball game to break down. But tomorrow we'll be looking ahead at the Cavs as the second preseason game.
Yeah, so they play the Cavs, Grizzlies, and Wizards, right? Do they play three or four preseason games?
They don't play the Grizzlies at all. They play the Cavs on Friday. They play the Hornets next Wednesday and the Wizards next week.
Okay. I think I mixed up. They play the Grizzlies in the first 2 weeks of the regular season, then that's where I mixed that up. Anyways, so we'll have previews and reviews of all those, the last three preseason games. Of course, we'll bring those up and talk about those. It says Grizzlies in our sheet, by the way, for next week. So maybe that's why I'm all screwed up. I might have written that, to be honest. As always, you can follow this podcast at Locked On Pacers on Twitter. We are now on YouTube. So if you're not listening on YouTube, you can check us out there. Tony's waving because his video camera's on YouTube. Our channel is Locked On Pacers, simple enough. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TeastNBA, me at FreeMadam5. That is all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. We will see you guys again tomorrow.